Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
8:14 now on this day after the first day of the NFL draft. We have selected, the Saints have selected, Taliese Fuala out of Oregon State. I'll get it straight. He's from Hawaii. Mike Dettelier and the crew spoke to him last night. Mike asked him about an interaction with the Saints prior to the draft. This is what he had to say.
It wasn't too much. I was seeing him at the Senior Bowl in the Combine, but it was never, too much talking. It was always just a little bit of talking here and there, nothing too much. It kind of surprised me, but, I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad I'm in this position to be able to, help the Saints. And, I want to be able to learn some people's out there, and I'm excited.
You heard earlier him say that he likes to go down the field and punch him in the mouth. Mike Dettelier, I heard that last night as well. Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you, Tommy.
Fantastic job last night, you and all of the crew with the draft coverage. Tell me a little bit about Taliese Fuala.
Yeah, the G is silent.
Yeah, that's what I found out.
We got him to explain it to us. Because, the years he's played at Oregon State and even Senior Bowl, Combine, they always said Fuaga. Mm-hmm. But, he told us last night, the G is silent. But he said, if you want to call me Fuaga, that's good. He got a big kick out of it. He was sort of like,
he's what, 6'6", 330? I'll call him whatever he wants.
He's a big dude now. I thought he was the best run blocker of all the tackles in this draft class. And you can tell. He's aggressive. He's very physical at the point of attack. But really what impressed me with him for a big man is his ability, and this is a little on the technical standpoint, his hand placement skills are good to control you and steer you.
That's what you told me yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
go ahead,
exactly.
Finish.
The other part is his ability to sink his hips and bend his knees. Now, if you're a 6'6" guy, 325, you say, oh, that's not that big of a deal. It is a big deal. Because a lot of people, you're that size, your tendency is to want to bend at the waist, not bend at the knees. And when I asked him, what's the one area you've worked on the most in the offseason, he immediately jumped at it, his kickstart. And that's your front foot. A lot of people think that kickstart as a pass blocker is your back foot, but it's really your front foot. And he said, that's what I've worked on. When he had difficulties, sometimes it was a hard inside move, and that is all about that kick step, body balance, and catching him. And he said he worked a lot at that in his off season. So you can see he gets the technical part of the game, and he understands it very, very well. The aggressiveness, the power. Okay, it takes you 2 seconds to figure that one out. But it's the technical skills as a pass blocker that really jumps out at you, that he gets it. He understands the technique part of this game. Okay, again, this is not in your backyard or high school football. This is at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And he has a great understanding of the game, and he's got a love of the game. He was my 11th-ranked player, and I knew somewhere along the line, because I had Fashano from Penn State as 10, Latham at 13, he was 11. So they were all sort of jammed up in there, and Olu and JC got picked ahead of him, and he was sort of the last Mohican of the offensive tackles that was available. I know they said they talked about Brock Bowers, but with the big needs you have at offensive tackle, and Brock went one pick ahead of them, I think even had Brock been there, they would have picked Fuala.
I'm watching his highlights right now, and you're talking about the technical aspects of it, and you make such a great point, because at this level, and again, it's in high school, it's in backyard football or anything, the difference between success and failure can be what? How small, right, Mike? How much of a difference? Just the most minute difference in technique or placement or position, right?
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, we emphasize this a lot. We have one of the best line camps in the country here at Louisiana Line Camp, Pete Jenkins, Kevin Mawai. We had 11 NFL coaches working with high school kids on technique, because when you're at the high school level, a lot of times you're bigger, stronger, faster. You get into college football,
You can get by with poor technique because you're a man among boys, right?
That's right. And Mark Schlereff got the best line. If you're not a technician, your stay in the NFL is going to be short. Because you know why? That guy that's across from me defensively, he's more athletic than 95% of the offensive linemen he's going up against. So you better be a technician. Because if you're not, then you're going to get beat by the better athlete. And so that's why, for me, when I look at offensive linemen, the technical part of the game has to be there, because if you flawed with your footwork, your hand placement skills, your body balance, your ability to sink your hips and your mirror on a defensive lineman, they're going to take full advantage of that, because they, in the most part, are more athletic than you are. Mm-hmm. At that level. And I think Schlereff, that was the best line I've heard from a former double-digit playing offensive lineman in the NFL. He got it. And that's why Fuala, he understands. He wasn't a star recruit coming out of high school. He was a three-star recruit. He came in at probably 270 pounds. Now he's a 320-pound man. Think about it. If you put on 50 pounds of weight, what that does to your body balance. Tommy, you've lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. You got better body balance today than you did a year ago. Your body balance.
Yep.
Because that weight, when you add it on, you got to get used to the fact that you're not as balanced as you were if you thinner.
Mike, a classic example of that, people that do these farmer's carries or whatever they call them with the kettlebells. Try walking around with those and see what difference it makes in your balance, right? I do them with 50-pounders, and that's 100 pounds, and you try to turn a corner. It's not the same, and I realize it's not exactly the same as having the weight on your body, but, man, that's the technique is everything, like you're saying, and the difference is so minute in the NFL. Because they got a lot of guys 6'6", 324, can't play tackle in the NFL.
No, and because they only know how to bully you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Works in high school, works in college sometimes, but not.
And sometimes.
Yeah.
But yet now, I think these guys know, and they work with a lot of guys that have played in the NFL or have coached, and they get some coaching outside of once they finish school to work with these guys to help them with their techniques and how to placement and technique, footwork, and how it's almost like a dance group, okay? If you watch a dance group and one person is out of alignment, you can see it immediately that they're not in sync with the other four, and that's why it's so important to have it here. I learned years ago, you know what's a skill player? A 6'5", 325-pound man that can move.
Yep.
That's a real skill. To have that.
And let me take a break. And watching Taliese Fuala, watching his highlights when he on trap plays and everything else, he can pull. He's pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got good quickness and an initial surge. And that ability to get to the second level, you block your guy, then you take off downfield, and then as a linebacker or a safety in the seam, and you're able to pick him up. And so he does a nice job with that. And, you know, think about last year. What was the one thing you could say about college football that jumped out at you? Pac-12 football was really good. In the last breath, so to speak, of Pac-12 football, you had some talent out there out west. And so you having to face really good pass rushers basically every week. Every week. And the one thing with Oregon State, too, man, you better lace up the gloves if you're getting in the ring with them. They were a very tough, hard-nosed team. And most of those guys were like Fuala. They weren't the star recruits. They're the star recruits. They're at Oregon. They're not at Oregon State. And so he gets that, and they were nasty up front, and they did a really good job.
Quick break, Mike. We'll pick it up when we come back. Y'all got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. We're going to talk about the Saints in round two and the other rounds. We'll also talk about what happened in the NFL draft last night, the Falcons. I don't know. What's going on there? 824 traffic now, WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Great job last night. He'll do a great job tonight and Saturday as well as this. WWL continues to cover the draft. Mike, I got a text last night. We're going to get back to the round two and everything, but from a good friend of mine that moved out of town, and says, just when you think the Falcons might be getting it together, instead they aggressively return to being the Falcons. For people that didn't stay up or don't understand, explain what I'm talking about, please.
Yeah, because their biggest needs were pass rush. They haven't had a consistent pass rusher since John Abraham. Okay, you can Google that. When's the last time John Abraham put on a Falcons uniform? They got a one-year wonder in Vic Beasley. It was really good, but for 1 year. And also they needed a corner. So what did they do? They picked Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback from Washington.
After they signed
Kirk Cousins and guaranteed him over $100 million and could literally get stripped of some draft choices in 2025 because, okay, everybody's doing a little bit of cheating in free agency. Mm-hmm. But for you to get caught, shame on you. Mm. I mean, come on.
You got to be stupid. You got to be stupid and a cheater to get caught, right?
Yeah. So if I'm Raheem Morris for 2024 – my thing is, how did I get better picking a guy who most likely will not hit the field and may not hit the field in 2025? I'm like, okay, I get that's what the owner wants. And I think some of this is mimicking what the Packers did when they had Aaron Rodgers and they picked Jordan Love. And he sat for a couple years. So I think they sort of mimicked that, and they saw how expensive it was to move up in the draft. But I live in the present if I'm a coach. I live in 2024. That guy's not helping me out this year.
Well, let's be honest. The owners live in the present, too. And if this doesn't work out, Raheem Morris ain't going to be there in 2 years. The owner's not going to say, you know what, Raheem? This is on me. It was my fault. I made a bet. You think that's going to happen?
No, well, no. You know, and Arthur's in his 80s. Arthur Blankey's in his 80s. So my thing about it is I understand what they were trying to do. I think they felt as though, hey, look, we see how expensive it is to move up to get a top quarterback. But, you know, again, to live in the present, he does not help you for 2024. And you've spent all this money and guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins for the next 2 years. He's basically a two-year rental. Now, the third year, that remains to be seen. But they didn't get any better last night for 2024 and 2025 because that guy's not going to hit the field. Now, you might ask me that differently in 2026, and it's a different answer. But for today, and with a glaring need for a pass rusher and another cornerback that can play opposite A.J. Terrell, they didn't get it.
And look, that's good for us, right? They're in the NFC South.
That's great
for us. And Carolina, the only thing they were doing last night is reading a thank you note from Chicago. They were busy doing that. Grant, talk about Tampa Bay. They got, picked a center from Duke?
Yeah, Graham Barton, interesting player because of the fact that I felt their offensive line has not been – they had a veteran center they signed, and he was a good one. He tears up his knee. He has not. He didn't play in 2 years and then retired. Here's my thing that jumps out at me at Graham Barton. He comes out of high school. He's never played center before. Never. He's always been a tackle. As an 18-year-old, Duke loses their first-string, second-string center. Offensive line coach comes up to him, hey, kid, you ever played center? Get in there and give it a whirl. He started six games. He gave up one sack. He graded out in the high 80s. You're talking about an 18-year-old who walks off of a high school campus and never played the position before, and he handled it. And for the last 3 years, he has started that left tackle. I really think he's better off inside at the center position. I thought that was an excellent pick for the Bucks. He is so smart, so technically sound as a football player. He's not this overwhelmingly powerful guy, but he's a great technician. And if you tell him he's a one-rep guy, I'm going to show you how to do it. Now, you saw how I did it, you do it. And he can pick it up.
Wow.
That's not a lot of human beings that can do that. You might say, oh, I can do it. Yeah, right. But you've never done it at that level.
And in your mind's eye, you may think you're doing it, but you're really not doing it. Let me take a break, Mike. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm going to look ahead to round two. And the Saints, we're talking to Mike to tell you about the NFL Draft, 850. More when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Mike, you'll appreciate this. I've gotten texts so far from the audience telling me that Taliese Fuala went to Oklahoma State, not Oregon State, and also another one telling me that Michael Penix is 28. So thanks for both of those texts to help me out. They're both wrong.
No, he's not 28.
He's 23, and Taliese definitely went to
Oregon State, not Oklahoma State.
But thanks for the help. Guys, I can screw myself up alone. I don't need any help doing that. Let's look ahead to round two. Who are the Saints looking at?
Well, I only 22 first-round pick grades. All 22 went. Mm-hmm. The four guys that didn't go was a center, Jackson Powers Johnson, then a wide receiver, Adonai A.D. Mitchell from Texas. Johnny Newton, who I think is a really good player, defensive tackle, and DeJuan Cooper from Iowa, who's a big nickel corner who can play safety, also return punts. So those four. I told you this yesterday, 14 of my top 60 were wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Seven got picked in round one.
Wow.
So expect 6 to 7 to go in round two. And Keon Coleman is one of those guys from Opelousas, Louisiana. He went to Michigan State, then he transferred to Florida State. Would be somebody certainly to keep in mind if he would still be available. As a couple defensive tackles there, Braden Fisk from Florida State, and along with Chris Jenkins Jr. Deuce and I were talking about that. I scouted his dad. Deuce played against his dad.
No kidding.
And so it goes to show you've been around. And also Edgen Cooper, linebacker, off linebacker from Texas A&M. He went to Covington High School. And a sneaky position for the Saints to upgrade. It's got to be safety.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they looked slow last year in the safety position part. guy like Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, is somebody to keep an eye on. But Troy Flankren, a wide receiver from Oregon, that's a lot of wideouts, couple, three defensive tackles, and I think you certainly could use help there. Safety is also a sneaky spot for them. Tyron's not getting any younger, and Marcus May's not on this team anymore.
So if round one is an equation with a lot of missing variables, round two, it's just, I don't know, how do you decide best player available, position need? How do you go about that, Mike, if you're the Saints?
And I'm always looking, you got more than one hole, okay? So I think you pick the highest rated player in the biggest need spot. That's how teams draft for the most part. Now, Atlanta didn't do that last night. But if you look at how most of these teams drafted, they fling you that BS about best player on the board. Yeah, and he's at the one need position that you need the most. That there is another part of that.
So now we're back to math.
Buy that now.
Venn diagrams almost,
on the board.
Like Venn diagrams almost, where it's like, yeah, best player at the position I need. There you go. There's your intersection.
Yeah.
Real quick, compared to Trevor Penning, somebody texted in and Taliese. Thoughts?
Oh, he's much more technically sound than Penning, and he's played against better competition than what Penning ever played against at Northern Iowa. So the technical part, he's better than what Penning was coming out of Northern Iowa, and he played against better competition.
Great job last night, Mike. I'll be listening all through the weekend. And then Monday, you'll be second-guessing over at the Silver Slipper. I know it's Christmas.
Yeah, me and Deuce will be there.
I know it's Christmas for you this time of year. Enjoy it, all right?
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. All right, so we'll take a break. Come back. A lot else going on, too, you know. They got the...
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.